When you make decisions based on the Word of God, you have all of heaven to back your choice. On today's Believer's Voice of Victory with Kenneth Copeland and guest Dr. Creflo A. Dollar, find out how to arrive at destination blessing.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Friday's edition of the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. I'm Kenneth Copeland, and my partner here is Creflo Dollar. Praise God. Creflo, thank you, sir.
I've enjoyed it. I've been
so blessed these last 2 weeks.
Yes, sir.
And, man, yesterday, my goodness, they turned the camera off. We couldn't quit. We kept on going. And it's that way when the Word is so absorbed in your spirit. Jesus said, out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth begins to speak. And when your mouth begins to speak it, your mind begins to hear it. And after a while, you start making firm decisions in the right direction. Jesus already there. He's already ready. Mm-hmm. He's already done his part. Mm-hmm. God's already settled the sin issue. He's already settled the worthy or unworthy issue. That's already a settled thing. That's no problem in God's mind. The problem has been in our mind. Well, you know, I don't know. Reason around, make no decision, and die young. Mm-hmm. But Creflo, there's a people in the land.
Yes, sir.
There's a people in the world. God has waked up a sleeping giant.
Yes, sir.
There's a bunch of religious people that ain't religious anymore. Mm-hmm. They're Jesus born, Jesus indwelt, Holy Ghost filled, tongue talking, healing, believing, word carrying believers.
Yes, sir.
They got a Bible in one hand and a CD plug in the ear, and they're dangerous to the powers of hell.
Yes, sir.
I am proud to be one of them.
Yes, me too, sir.
Praise God. Mark chapter 5. That's what you said just before we turned the machine.
Yeah, we've been talking about those steps. Let's start off with words, and the words produce the way you think, and then the way you think will produce the emotions. Yesterday we talked about how to take charge of those emotions, but now your emotions will produce the type of decisions you make. Now, this is vital because if the words and the thinking and your emotions are not lining up with God's word, then you are going to make decisions that will not line up with God's word. You're going to make decisions that could possibly, will definitely lead you into the wrong destinations for your life.
Oh, that is so true. You know, think about making decisions based on money mm-hmm. all the time. Mm-hmm. According to the word, you're going to be wrong about 95%
yes,
of the time. And the other 5%, you don't know you're wrong, and you didn't know you made it or missed it on that. Mm-hmm. But if you make your decisions based on the anointing of God, will this protect the anointing? Mm-hmm. What do I do here about the anointing? Mm-hmm. Well, now, wait a minute now, brother. We don't want to build the pastor a new study. It'll cost $50,000 to put that office in. And he can just, listen, I've been talking to them people over across the street on that little bar over there. There ain't nobody in there Sunday morning. And that man that owns that bar over there said, why, yeah, bring the reverend over. We'll fix him a pot of coffee and we'll put a nice breakfast on his table, and he can just study all he wants to. Now, that's a money decision.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's stupid. Mm-hmm. I don't want the man responsible for my soul and marrying my children and preaching a message on Sunday morning that's supposed to bring me faith. I don't want him preparing it over in that bar. I don't care how dark and quiet it is over there.
Yeah, but the church world calls that good stewardship.
No, it ain't good stewardship.
It ain't stewardship
at all.
It's
not stewardship at all.
Stewardship is not cheap ship.
Well, Creflo, I was in a recording session one time, and this guitar picker sitting over I said, boys, we can do better than that. We need to do another take. He said, oh, that's good enough for gospel. Oh, dear. There ain't nothing good enough for gospel. Mm-hmm. I wanted to feed him that guitar. And the Lord said, no, you just be quiet and settle down. If you want to ask him, leave, fine, but don't spank him before he goes. You just settle down. You're getting over in his world. Yeah. Just settle down here. Mm-hmm. There's not anything good enough for gospel. Mm-hmm. There's nothing big enough. There's not enough gold mm-hmm. in this earth to be good enough for the blood of Jesus.
Yes, yes.
And if you start thinking, wait a minute, how can we protect his anointing? How can I shield this man of God, this woman of God? What can I do? How can I give? What can I be a part of? That, oh, God, help him. He's preaching to my family. Fill him with your word. Now, even when I make a mistake, I'm in a place where God can yes. correct me, right?
Yes.
My decisions have to be based in God's way, yes. God's word, God's anointing, God's way of doing things, not my feelings. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. You cannot make emotional decisions and plan on being successful.
No, you can't.
Decisions are what actually happens when I make a decision. And this is why at this point it is so vital. The decision, once it is made, will open the door for that thing now to be a reality in your life.
You did that building that dome. Mm-hmm. I watched you and Taffy do that. Mm-hmm. I watched you come up to a place where you were absolutely finished. Mm-hmm. Thing didn't even have a roof on it. Mm-hmm. And other times, just come to the end of everything. And you guys didn't run outside trying to figure out how to do this thing. The whole church just locked in here before God. I watched you do it, man. And I watched God put the roof on that place, put seats in the thing and the whole business. And when I walked into that auditorium for the first time, it wasn't quite finished. They're still working. Mm-hmm. I walked in there the first time. My first thing that happened, I wanted to start prophesying. And did.
Yeah, you did.
I just started walking around in there prophesying. Why? The place was full of the Spirit of God. It was ready to preach the Word in it. Why? Word-based decisions built it.
Yes. And if you have to understand the base, your base, whether it's the Word or emotions or something you're hearing on television or something an uncle or relative said to you, you've got to understand that when you make a decision, it's based in something. It's based on something.
It has to be done.
Every decision you make is based. Some people think, well, I don't know why I made that decision. No, it's based in something. And so what we're saying is make sure it's based in God's word.
Oh, yeah.
When we made a decision to get born again, heaven demonstrated his love for us by backing us up. Nobody could stop my decision when I made a decision to get born again.
You know, that's the truth.
All of hell,
couldn't keep it from taking place.
Heaven backed me up. And that's what you have when you make decisions based on the Word of God. You have heaven's backup. God's backing you up. The Holy Ghost is backing you up. The blood is backing you up. The blessing will back you up when you make a decision in line with the Word of God. But now when you don't make a decision in line with the Word of God, whether it's decision to marry somebody or the decision to go and work to this place, you're making a decision to go work because they're offering you a dime more than what you're making right now, and you're not making the decision based on God's word, those decisions now will lead you into actions. What is it now you're going to find yourself doing based on those decisions? You know, the Bible says that he weighs our actions. What are you doing? What is it? Whatever you do, that's what you're going to have the potential to become perfected at. If you watch pornography, you can become a perfected pornographer watcher.
And it'll kill you.
So, and that's the importance of it.
It'll lead you into things that you would abhor and never think about doing. That's where child killers come from. Mm-hmm. And they knew better than that when they got into it.
But what decision did they make?
And they didn't start in the middle. They started back there at the beginning.
Yeah.
Sin is always like that, isn't it?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And then what happens when you get that action going, you are now working on creating a habit.
Man, oh, man.
Now, that habit's going to make you. And once that habit has made you, that's your character. Your character becomes what people expect from you because of your actions and your habits. Your character becomes the place where everything stops. You're either going to be charming and have to put on the lights and everything in order to get things accomplished in your mm-hmm. life. Or you're going to be a man of character if you do it from God's word, where you're out to be a blessing and you're out to be a funnel by which God can flow his favor through you in order to touch somebody's life. Doing what's right because it's right. And then doing
and then
it right.
Do it right the yeah. first time.
Well, you won't do that if that decision is not true. Based on the word.
That's absolutely true. And I'll tell you something else, Cliff, that happens out of this. Somebody come up to me and start talking to me about you. Mm-hmm. I maybe hadn't seen you for a month. Mm-hmm. But he can't tell me something about you that's outside your character. Mm-hmm. I know you. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know how you are just in front of me because I know that character demands you to be the same way mm-hmm. when ain't nobody there but you and God. Mm-hmm. And so I'm confident in you. I'm confident in God. And this is what people of character develop from the Word. You can't do it any other way. Mm-hmm. When Mr. Huckabee was governor of the state of Arkansas, he wrote a book, you know, and we had him on the broadcast a number of times. Mm-hmm. On character is the issue. It's not an issue. It is the issue because you have to, like you said, you have to base these decisions in something. Mm-hmm. And character is the way you are when nobody's looking.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm.
That's what forms your habits. Mm-hmm. That's what causes you to be in and do certain things the way you do them.
And charm is what you are not when nobody's looking. And that's what you become in front of
people.
Wait
a minute. Now, say that again.
Charming is what you're not in front of people.
Another word for that is con. Yeah.
Yeah. And then you become that when people come around you. And
I understand.
Yeah, the charming man becomes who he needs to be at the time to fulfill his selfish purposes. But the man of character is who he is all the time because he is out to be a blessing to someone else other than himself.
You can't do that without God's word.
You can't do it without God's word. There's no way you can do it without
God's
word.
You can't do it without God's
word. And so what happens is those actions from that decisions create those habits. Now, those habits now, once you get into those habits, now you begin to look at addictive behaviors and you start looking at lasciviousness and you can't find the breaks and you're trying to stop and one more time becomes one more time and you're trying to figure out what's going on and the devil begins to really deal with your mind and strongholds are being built in your mind.
I've got this problem that I'm working on. You working on it? What do you mean working on it?
Well, you working on it and you're working on blaming everybody else for the problem that you have. But the character, here's
the word will stop it, won't it?
It'll stop the whole thing.
Praise God.
But the character that you have, you cannot go and you will not go any farther than the level of your character. Somebody says, well, I went by the bank. And they gave me $50 more than what I was expecting. Praise the Lord, the wealth of the wicked has come on me.
No,
praise God.
No,
that ain't
man.
No, that
no,
ain't no,
no
that's
no,
not God. God
no.
doesn't have to use that type of deceit to bless you.
No.
But a man of character will say, look, ma'am, you gave me $50 more than what you should have gave me. And I want to give it back. And she'll stand there shocked like, I can't believe you gave it back. Well, I'm a man of character. And I recognize that my character is going to benefit me in the future.
Absolutely.
When it lines up with God's word.
Now, next time you come in there, she'll say, you see that old boy, Rhoda? I guarantee you he's got something. Mm-hmm. And she'll tell the whole story. Everybody in that bank will know it in 2 days. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And this is important because now it brings us to destination. We started off talking about destination blessing, the
yes,
blessing destination.
We're headed somewhere.
Yeah, we're heading somewhere. And so now you say, well, I don't understand why I'm not blessed. Or I don't understand why I don't have a raise. Why is increase not working in my life? You know what? We've taken 2 weeks to set you up so that you can gather an understanding that nothing just happens. You are not where you are in life for no reason at all. The good news is, if you don't like the destination that you are presently in, you now know through these 2 weeks of broadcast how to change it. You're not stuck. You're not stranded. all of your life. You can get out of the situation you're in right now.
Yeah.
The blessing is still available for whosoever will. But if you'll come in here, and these are practical things about you, your life, things you know about, things you go through with yourself. Sometimes we're so busy looking for the enemy, and he's enemy. And you need to really check yourself out and say, wait a minute, there are some adjustments I need to make in my life. And I tell you, the primary adjustment will be, what are you standing on?
Yeah.
What's your final authority? What is it you believe? What is it you're speaking? What is it you're spending most of your time with? Because that will determine and give you reasons why you are where you are in life. The covenant of God and the covenant of blessings is ready to increase you. In that covenant, he included, he said, I will bless you with an abundant increase of favor. Somebody says, well, I don't see where I'm going to get the money to do that. It's some things God will just give you favor for before the money show up. Mm-hmm. And God says, I want to increase these favors in your life. And I believe that's where we are. We are in a place right now where God has amplified his blessings, multiplied them. There is a place of enlargement where the blessing is concerned. And there is such a seriousness from heaven to say, I got to get it to you. Where is somebody? It's almost like what David had when he was going around that place saying, is there anybody? Is there anybody somewhere that I can show my love to carry my covenant out? And they found Mephibosheth living beneath his privileges.
My,
hear heaven saying that.
Well, the scripture says the same thing. God's eyes go to and fro across the earth, seeking those to whom he may show himself strong. That's covenant relationship. Yes. Let me show myself strong. Well, why don't he just do it? Well, why don't you get in there and put yourself in position to receive it?
He's looking for covenant people.
Yes,
he's looking for somebody who's expecting of him, somebody who will make a demand of him, who says, I know my covenant. I know that God has to heal me. Now, that sounds strange. Has to? Yeah. When
he
you know your covenant,
it.
That's what he said.
Amen.
That's what he said. In the book of 2 Chronicles, when they were praying this prayer and Jehoshaphat was under attack, and they were praying and they referred to Abraham as a friend of God. Here's what they said. They said, you will hear and you will help. Somebody says, well, you don't talk to God like that. Covenant people do. I'm not being rude when I say
no,
that.
No.
I'm not being rude. I'm going before God and I'm saying, this is what you've already willed to do. I'm telling you, I know it. I'm telling you, I'm in covenant with you. I'm telling you, I'm not coming to you like some spiritual sissy. I know my rights in this covenant. And heaven and the angels are already. And this is what I'm sensing right now. It's like the angels of God, like a relay race, and they're in the blocks and ready, set. That's where they are. They're set. And some of them in some people's life been set the whole time. They're ready to move. They're ready to do the most outstanding manifestations that the earth has ever seen. And it's right now, today, in our generation. If we would lay hold on the hope that's been set before us.
Chris, well, we're the chosen generation.
Yes, sir.
We've had all of this explained to us for the last 50 years, actually 100 years since Azusa Street. And here we are. At the end time, we are the end time manifestation, blessing generation. We've been chosen for this time and this hour.
Yeah.
We ain't waiting on God.
Yeah.
He's been waiting on us all this time.
Yes, sir.
To get in his word, change the way you think, change the way you talk, change your mind and your actions and make decisions based on what he said. And he'll show himself strong.
Brother Copeland, we will not let our God down.
No, sir, we won't.
We will not let the covenant of God down. And we ain't going nowhere with your young self. We ain't going nowhere until we finish, because you ain't leaving me by myself to do this. But we will
Amen.
Not. And there are others that we know and connected to. We will not let it down. But watch. Watch. Watch what is about to happen. Watch, look, and notice what is on the horizon.
Notice what God is doing even now.
Yes, sir.
And there will be a great shout of victory across the land because of the blessing that has now exploded all over the place. It exploded, first of all, in the realm of the spirit.
Yeah.
Now it is prepared to spill over into this physical world. And when men that don't know God see it, they won't understand it. They will immediately think that something's wrong. They'll immediately think that somebody stole something. And even Jesus, who had the blessing on his life, he had enough money to take care of all of his ministry and a thief. Nothing will stop
the
overflow of the power of God in these
days. That is absolutely
the
truth.
Yes, sir.
Where are you going to be? Your destination is the same. I don't care if you never made Jesus the Lord of your life. You can do it right now. You say, Jesus, come into my heart. You've already planned all this for me. I receive it. I repent of the past. Oh, but you don't know what kind of a person I've been. Well, the scripture says you died for the ungodly and you, me, qualified. So, I mean, forget that.
Yeah.
Lay the past down and come a charging into the throne room of God. And say, thank you, Father, I'm home.
Yes,
hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah.
I'm home. Bless the Lord. That old boy run off and he went out messing around, gambling and, you know, whooping it up, lost everything he had and wound up in a pig pen. For a Jewish boy in a pig pen, that's a tough place to be, brother. But he said, hey, I'm going home.
Yeah.
My daddy got servants living better than this.
Yeah.
He got up and headed home. He made it up in his little mind. He said, when I get home, I'm going to tell my daddy, I'm unworthy to be your son. I'll just be a servant. I'll just da-da-da-da-da. And his daddy come running out there to meet him, you know, pig stink and all. And he grabbed him and kissed him. He said, God, boy, go clean up. But no, he grabbed him. And the boy started his little speech and said, oh, Father, you know, I've sinned against you. And I've been sinning this and that. And I'm so unworthy of that. And before he could say, I'll just be a servant, his daddy grabbed him and said, kill the covenant calf and put a ring on his finger. My boy is back. He wasn't looking for servants. He had servants.
Yes.
He's looking for sons.
Yes.
God's got heavens full of angels.
Yes.
He's got servants all over the place.
Yes.
He's looking for sons.
Yeah.
He's looking for you, son.
Yeah.
And you just come running in there to him. Praise God. Say, I'm here, sir.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
And he says, come on in where the table is spread.
That table is spread.
Where the feast of the Lord is running
in over. In the presence of your enemies.
Yeah.
Not in heaven.
Yeah.
In the presence of the devil himself.
Uh-huh.
You can walk through the valley of the shadow of death and fear no evil.
Yes, sir.
Because your Father is the biggest thing in the valley.
Yes,
oh, hallelujah to Jesus.
Praise
Amen.
God. Hallelujah.
Well, Creflo and I'll be back.
It's like going from the shallow end of the pool to jumping into the deep end of the pool.
Jump into faith, hope, and love at the 2008 Southwest Believers Convention, August 4th through 9th at the Fort Worth Convention Center in Fort Worth, Texas. Join Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, Jerry Savelle, Jesse Duplantis, and Creflo Dollar for 6 empowering days with believers from around the world. Experience the presence of God in worship and immerse yourself in God's Word as it changes you forever. Special services also include Super Kid Academy for ages 6 through 12 and 1440 for junior high and high school. There's a place for the whole family. To find out more, call 800-600-7395 or visit kcm.org.
Now, Friday is always offering day on the Believer's Voice of Victor broadcast. We've gone all this week now. We have brought things to you from the Word of God, and your spirit's full of those things. Your mind is full of those things. But now, there's something that needs to happen to activate it, mm-hmm. for it to become yours.
Mm-hmm.
And he's outlined it right here. Let him that's taught in the Word communicate, or let him respond to that teaching in the Word, let him respond to that teacher.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Now, how do you respond to a teacher? You do what he says. Mm-hmm. I had me a flight instructor. I had me a ski instructor. Anybody instruct me to do things I didn't know how to do. Mm-hmm. Well, what do? I try to act like him. If I don't, well, I don't want to try to act like him. I couldn't look like that. No, you can't. You might as well send your saddle home. You're through. But when he says you respond to that, you act on it. How? Don't be deceived now. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. If you sow to unworthiness, if you sow to your flesh, if you sow to that religion, and you turn down what the teacher has taught you, then from that you will reap corruption. But if you sow to your spirit, I'm sowing to my spirit. My spirit is full of the word of faith on how to walk in these things. It is full of what Brother Creflo and Brother Copeland had taught me by the Holy Ghost and by the Word this week. Now, I'm going to respond by acting on that, and I'm calling this seed that I pray over today the blessing seed. This is the seed that I release to activate what's been sown in me, and you reap from the Spirit life, Zoe. That's the life of God that you release out of your spirit, and the life of God begins then to work on that. I mean, it begins to, you're not just sitting down at the table, you're eating on it now. You're digesting it in your spirit, and it's causing faith, and it's affecting your will, and your emotions and decisions are changing. We have therefore opportunity. Let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the house. Now, if you live outside the United States, your offering doesn't come here. It stays right where you are to minister in the broadcast to you on a continual basis. Praise God. God, we release the blessing. Jesus, we release the blessing on our partners all over this world. In Jesus' name. Go to church this weekend. Thanks, Creflo. God bless you, brother. Give them a love to Taffy and the whole family. We'll see you next week. My grandson Jeremy's going to be on the broadcast with us. And remember, Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us today on the Believer's Voice of Victory. For a DVD or CD copy of this broadcast, visit our website at kcm.org or call toll-free 800-575-4455. This is the year of fullness of blessing, a time for you to receive the blessing without measure.
Hello, everybody. I'm Kenneth Copeland. Listen, get your kids stirred up. Get your grandkids all stirred up. Get your Sunday school class all stirred up. Praise God. Jeremy Pearson is going to be here with us. I'm telling you, for a week of dynamite broadcast concerning the faith life of young people.
Be sure to mark your calendars for these special broadcasts.